Let's go up to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled for one episode and is our vantage point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast.
Outside, we couldn't see it from our vantage point.
Wrestling fans, and welcome to our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. This is episode number 27, and it is Monday, April 17th, 2017. Glad to be back with you. I am Joe Murata. This is Michael Quinn. How you doing, Quinn?
Howdy diddy.
Howdy doody to you, sir.
Hi.
Hi. Ready to talk about the world of retro wrestling?
Yeah, of course.
That's what we're here for, right?
That's what we do, right?
That is what we do. Don't be fooled by cheap invitations. We are your retro wrestling podcast.
Right.
Quinn, we finally made it through WrestleMania a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
We finally made it through the Hall of Fame Bites a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We also talked to Sean Mooney last week.
Yeah, we're kind of on a regular schedule now again.
We are finally back to normal, folks.
Yep.
This is time to talk about the retro wrestling. I want to remind you, you can talk to us. Reach us on Twitter at OVP Podcast. You can email us if you use that for things other than work.
Yeah.
And that would be at OVPPodcast@gmail.com. That is OVPPodcast@gmail.com. Quinn, there's a plethora of places to find our podcast.
Quite a plethora.
Where might those places be, sir?
Well, you can go to iTunes and you can leave us a review there as well.
Yep.
As well as getting the podcast there.
That's right.
We love those reviews.
Mm-hmm.
There's Google Play.
Yeah.
There's Stitcher.
Yep.
There's Blueberry.
Yep.
There's FM.player.
Who cares?
There we go.
For old time's sake, that's
about right. TuneIn and
tune in.
All sorts of things.
Now, there's also a domain on the web or something.
Yeah, this is real. It's called OVPPodcast.com.
That's right, OVPPodcast.com.
And over there, you can get all the links to all the stuff that we are on, including our social media, Facebook and Twitter. And
MySpace yet?
Not MySpace, never MySpace.
Damn.
You can even get like the raw RSS feed if you're really interested in that kind of stuff.
If you're a real nerd.
Yeah, the techie. if you want the real RSS,
yeah.
the raw feed and put it into your thing manually, you can do that.
Oof,
over there.
That is some high-tech stuff, Michael.
Yeah.
And I know that there's some kind of moving picture video site.
Yes, YouTube.com.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just .com this week, but yeah, over there you can see our Hall of Fame Bite videos.
Yes.
And you can see our promo spots and
behind the scenes
things. It's a whole fun place that you can go and see us.
You know what, Quinn? Speaking of places, we are on the Place to Be Nation. If you're not listening to us there, why don't you check it out? It's placetobenation.com. Quinn, you like that place?
Yeah, I like that place. They got the Place to Be Nation podcast.
Yeah.
The mother sip of the network.
Yes, the gold standard.
Yeah, and you know, they talk about the old retro stuff there, which I like.
Yeah.
The old house shows, MSG house shows, Saturday Night's Main Event.
They're doing it differently than we do, which is cool.
Yeah, they're going in order.
Yes, they're just doing, like, you know, all the MSG shows, Saturday Night's Main Event, the Wrestling Classic they did a few weeks back.
Yep.
So that's kind of cool. JT and Scott do a great job there, and there's also the Main Event podcast,
right,
there.
With about the current
about
product,
the current,
which we didn't really like in our WrestleMania thing.
We're not so good with the current.
No, that's why we're here for the retro.
We're here for the retro. So, folks, we are here to talk about the retro, and if you have been following along here, you would know that it is Quinn's pick to ask me what I think of something. So, Quinn, it's all you, my friend. What are we looking at this week?
Well, I know last week you talked about The Undertaker.
Yes, I did.
But I thought of a guy that kind of goes hand in hand with The Undertaker.
Okay.
And that is Jake the Snake Roberts.
Trust wow, me. You know what? That's a good Trust pick. Me. We haven't talked about him much.
Me. Yeah. Trust
okay, me. Jake the Snake Trust Roberts. Me. I mean, he is one of the most notable gimmicks of the 80s, I'd say. Notable characters, perhaps.
Yeah, I know a lot of our friends like Jake.
Yeah, a lot of our friends like Jake. One of the things about Jake Roberts, and I think you've maybe mentioned it before, Quinn, is the idea of a jerk that brings a snake to the ring and puts it on you when he beats you. That's cool.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's again, it's like how Taker was. It's a cool gimmick, right? It's something that kids especially like to see. But you know, older fans, he had an edge to him.
Yes.
You know, he wasn't just like a
wishy-washy.
Wasn't just I got a snake, You know, like it's not like a guy that carries an animal to the ring. It's like, no, this guy really is like an actual snake.
He's a jerk.
Yeah, metaphorically, I guess.
Yes, metaphorically.
He's an actual snake in the grass, and he will betray you, and he doesn't care.
It was hard to keep him heel.
Well, it was hard to keep both, actually.
Yeah, because he was so, like, driven by, it seemed like, evil intentions. You know what I mean?
Right.
He wasn't really a stand-up guy.
No, he never was, even when he was a face.
The only thing I could think of is maybe in 90 when he does that promo against DiBiase, you know, that feud with DiBiase.
Right.
He's kind of standing up for people that don't have money. But beyond that, this is the guy that slapped Miss Elizabeth.
Yes. This is a guy that he beat up the crap out of Ricky Steamboat, like DDT'd him on the cement or whatever.
This is a guy that was okay with having a cobra chew up Randy Savage.
Right.
You know?
These are the stuff, his heel actions, but even as a face, he was kind of, I don't know, it was like he was like sinister or something, you know? Like it wasn't like he didn't really change necessarily when he was a face. It was just people didn't like the guys he was screwing with.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things about Jake, you know, I think he got his start. I actually want to say, believe it or not, one of his first big things was in Stampede.
Heavyweight title, Jake Roberts against Hercules Ayala.
I think I've heard that. I think
late 70s.
Where he made his name, I know he was in JCP for a bit.
Mid-South.
With his father.
Yes, Grizzly Smith.
Yeah.
And he was in Mid-South with under Bill Watts, or right. At least like that area, you know, the Bill Watts area.
Right.
We have Jake the Snake Roberts here, and he has a few words he wants to say.
It wasn't, of course, until he hit the WWF right before WrestleMania 2, where he really made an impact in the wrestling scene.
Jake the Snake Roberts!
And if we're talking about Jake's background, too,
sure.
I always got a kick out of the fact that he wasn't the best looking like body.
No.
But that was the best part about him is that he always would say this to himself. He was a guy that didn't really have to put his hands on you.
He put his mind on you.
Yeah, he would play mind games and he could talk, and it was all about screwing with the opponent's head.
Yes.
And then when the time came, apply the DDT.
Boom.
Boom. And I guess that was a good transition to the DDT in general.
Yeah, the DDT was his notable finishing move. Contrary to any rumors, it doesn't stand for anything. It doesn't stand for Damien's dinner time or Damien's death drop.
That's stupid.
Death time or whatever.
I don't know who would think that.
Jake Roberts infamously, or maybe famously, said it stands for the end. But it really is literally named after the band Pesticide DDT.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
I thought it was just named after the Pesticide DDT, but...
Yeah, that's what I said.
You said the band Pesticide.
It's band.
Oh, I thought you meant like musical band. Because you said the band Pesticide.
No.
There could be a band named Pesticide.
I bet there is.
I doubt that there isn't. So.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have East Airside's number one suicide tribute band, Pesticide.
No. The outlawed. Is that better?
Yeah, the outlawed
pesticide
substance.
Yes, DDT.
The outlawed pesticide substance. Yes.
Anyway, so that was a finisher that from the time Jake started using it, he was the guy associated with the DDT.
Right.
That move was death.
Yes, it was never, no one kicked out of it until The Undertaker.
Probably, right?
Which was who we talked about last week.
Yeah, exactly. That was one of the best finishers I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, and the short drop, the way he applied it. For years, there's been guys trying to do the DDT. I know Bobby Roode is now doing it, and like other people. I know Orton did the one where you lay the legs on the second rope and drop them.
That thing is so stupid.
It's a signature move for him, though. That's like one of his signature things he does. It's not a finisher, but it's like a in his repertoire.
Yeah, if it was in a video game, that would be like a secondary move.
Yeah.
Exactly. But Jake used it as his primary move. It was his finisher, and it looked cool. It looked like it hurt, because it would hurt if you really did that to someone.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you really did that to someone, you might kill them.
That's how he knocked out Ricky Steamboat for real, is like Steamboat just didn't protect the fall on the concrete.
Right.
That legit knocked him out. That wasn't a work.
It was quite a move because just the way they portrayed it on TV, so many jobbers would go down to it, and even on like WrestleManias and pay-per-views, and like it was just, I loved how his opponents took it too, because they would go limp.
Yes,
like they wouldn't. He would have to physically turn them over.
Yeah,
like they
would get the pin.
They would never roll around or do anything. Like they were just out, and they would stay down long enough for him to put a snake on you. Which was what's cool is not only is it, you know, you can get a pin out of it, but then he can add salt to the wounds there, and for insults,
and throw a snake on you,
throw a snake and choke you out or whatever with it.
I mean, George Wells was the first public, you know, worldwide victim of that, foaming at the mouth.
Right,
WrestleMania 2.
And I mean, Damian wasn't like that kind of snake, I don't think.
No, he was a was he a boa constrictor?
Well, that's what a constrictor does.
Burmese python.
I think he was a Burmese python. So it's like, I always thought it was funny because they would sell like they were getting choked out, but it was just kind of like curling around their neck.
Yeah, it didn't
like,
really do much.
And it didn't even look like it was like,
no,
you know, like getting them in there or anything. So
now, one of the things about Jake, I mentioned it's hard to keep a guy like that heel because he was so cool. So he debuts in early 86. By early 87, he's already a face within a year.
Right.
One of the things that was like almost a test to see who would get the face reaction. I don't know if you know this, Quinn. There was a match that he had against Randy Savage in the November of 86.
I remember this, yeah.
Saturday night's main event. And Vince, the announcer, Vince, like,
it was heel versus heel, if
yes,
I recall.
The announcer character of Vince on the show was like, he's like, I wonder who the crowd's going to support. I bet they're going to support Randy Savage.
You know, who's going to be the fan favorite, Jesse?
I don't know, McMahon. You're looking at two of probably the most hated wrestlers in the world right here. And it's going to be interesting to see which way the fans side in a match like this.
Whether Macho they go, Man.
I don't know whether they go down the middle, whether they go with the Macho Man or the Snake.
I would have to say perhaps the Macho Man. Now,
which they didn't.
They supported Jake the Snake.
They supported Jake, and that led to that feud with Honky Tonk Man in 87.
Yeah, because cool is always more supportive than jerk.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, like, if you think about it, like, Randy Savage is a jerk to his girlfriend.
Yes.
And he's
and
just...
And to fans.
And to fans, and he's just a douche. But Jake the Snake is kind of like...
Slimy cool.
He's evil, but at least he's cool about it.
He had the cool factor.
Yeah. And he's only dealing with, like, other wrestlers. He's not
right.
with women. Like, you
exactly.
know what I mean?
And
until
was,
later.
Yeah. And he was a hell of a lot cooler than the Honky Tonk Man, and that completed the face turn.
Right.
Was feuding with Honky. Remember, he gets hit with the guitar, legit injured
on the
himself.
Jake, like, talk show thing.
Jake's
snake
talk
pit.
Show. Yeah, the snake pit. That replaced
that
you
was
know.
The corniest set.
It looked like the Rainforest Cafe or
yeah.
something like
that. That clip with the Honky Tonk Man and the is pretty like crazy.
Yeah, that he just bangs him with a
well,
real guitar.
It also
guitar.
Looks like it's 1,000 years old when they show the clip. Like, I remember thinking, like, was this the same year?
Early 87.
Yeah.
That led to an unremarkable WrestleMania 3 match.
Although, remarkable for the sake of Alice Cooper,
Cooper
and, like, the fact that Jake was involved with the celebrities, that showed what faith they had in him, that we're going to attach a celebrity to Jake the Snake.
That's a good point. And you know what? Also, they followed Savage Steamboat, which is the hardest thing to do.
Right.
That was the match right after it.
And if I recall, that match got a good response. The
yes.
idea of getting Jimmy Hart back after all
yes.
those months and possibly years. It's been a while since Jimmy got a comeuppance.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he was terrified of snakes. So
yeah. No, you're right.
It was perfect.
It was well done. Alice Cooper played a good part in it. Now, Jake didn't have what I would call, you know, for the remainder of the 80s into the beginning of the 90s, he didn't have any really amazing matches during that period of time.
No, and I always say about Jake is that I feel like he's one of the rare guys that can get away with not having high match quality.
Because of the psychology.
Yes, it's all about everyone's looking for the DDT, the whole match.
It's very true.
Yeah, and it's awesome because that's a wrestler that is good at masking his, like, inadequacies, yeah, and weaknesses. Like, he could just mask it, and you think he's the best wrestler in the world because everyone's just wanting him to hit the DDT.
Jake, as a face, you know, fighting a guy like, let's say, Ted DiBiase, where the match is built around DiBiase trying to avoid that DDT the whole match.
Right.
You don't need tons of wrestling moves for that.
No, and a lot of it I always loved, and this is just in every Jake match, was the idea of he would signal for the DDT and almost get it, and the opponent would slip away or go outside the ring to avoid it and wait to kind of get him on equal footing again so that they wouldn't fall into the DDT.
And what does that do? It builds anticipation for when it finally does happen.
And when it drops,
boom,
done.
Exactly. So Jake has a crappy feud with Rick Martel.
Mm.
The blinding angle, that was a bad
now,
period.
The blinding angle, if I recall, leads to his alliance with the Ultimate Warrior, which turns him heel again.
Well, it's kind of a combination of things. First, he gets blinded, right?
Right.
Has the blindfold match, which everyone has mixed opinions, or everyone thinks is bad for the most part. I actually don't mind it.
It's whatever.
It's fun.
Yeah.
So he's coming off the blinding thing with Martel. Then Earthquake squashes Damian.
Earthquake is going to squash this thing. Don't watch this, folks. Please don't watch it. Oh, he's going to go flying down.
Right, so now there's no more Damien.
Summer 91. So Jake gets Lucifer, a new snake, which is basically Damien. But in the meantime, he's still a face, but he's like weird, right? So he turns heel, like you alluded to, Quinn. That's when he says, never trust a snake.
Right.
Never trust a snake.
He had been saying, trust me that whole time.
And he was trustworthy up until that point.
That was it.
And then it was all like a big ruse. And what was so cool about it was you didn't feel like Jake had really deceived him. He told him the truth in Jake's eyes.
Yes, exactly.
Meaning that Jake the snake is just, why would you trust a snake?
Right.
Exactly. A snake's going to tell you, trust me, you're an idiot.
Yeah, and the warrior was kind of an idiot. The character. So that leads to Jake becoming big friends with the Undertaker.
Yes.
Big alliance there.
Right.
They crash the wedding reception.
The infamous.
Yes.
Oh my God, the King Cobra
in the box,
and Jake, oh my God, that Cobra thing, to me, that's like the peak of coolness.
Angle.
Is like the fact that Savage takes the Cobra bite, which probably really hurt, even if it was devenomized.
I'm sure it hurt.
Yeah.
It's still an animal chewing on you.
Right. And
you know
I mean, the fangs of a snake like that, you see them. That's the crazy part, is you see the fangs and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. That led to their big feud, the match at this Tuesday in Texas, where Jake slaps Elizabeth afterwards.
Yep. And, you know, Mean Gene loses his mind.
Yeah, I think we need to cut to a clip of that promo right now.
But the best feeling I've ever had in my life is when I grabbed a hold of your woman's hair, man, and jerked her up off of her knees. That was good. And then when I put my hand across her face, my man, it felt so good I should have to pay for that. Yeah, I would pay to do that. So the next time you think about crossing this snake's path and a snake chooses his own path where nobody else wants to go, you think about it again. But if you do decide to, please do me one little favor. I'm begging you, please bring her back. Let me touch her again.
Oh, get out of here, please, Robert.
I can cultivate her into something that even I could want.
Oh, please.
I could do that. Trust me. Trust me.
Please. I refuse to. Gorilla Monsoon, let's get back. Get out of here.
Get the hell out of here.
I don't want to talk.
What a freaking promo. Just Jake acting like that was the best thing ever to slap Elizabeth.
Laughing.
You know? Yeah.
Laughing.
And Gene just getting all pissed off about it. What
and he doesn't
angle.
Care. And again, the greatest part of all of it is that it's not a change in character.
He was
always this way.
It's true.
He just wasn't facing people that the fans liked.
It's true. He was never like an upstanding, you know, scrupulous
person. He was
going to
betray you all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, he obviously gets beat by The Undertaker at WrestleMania 8, and that's the end of his first WWF run.
The end of the classical Jake run. He goes to WCW, you know.
Unremarkable
run.
Tumultuous run with Bill Watts there, who did not like him. Then, of course, he goes through the indies, does a few things. He comes back to WWF in 96. That was sad. I'm sorry.
I will say this.
Yeah.
If anything, it was his program with Austin that, to me, cemented Austin in the end, because Jake came in as an old, broken down
man. That was the gimmick
and
real life.
Yeah, but he sold it, too, like, right, with The Undertaker. It's like, I remember him going down to Stone Cold, and I've heard it said before that it was either Jake or somebody else felt that the Stunner was the new DDT. And for Jake to go down to Stone Cold Steve Austin at the King of the Ring in that role, and for Austin to cut a promo about how he was broken down and it's not your time anymore.
Yep. Austin 316, of course.
I gotta hand it to Jake, even if he was in a incapacitated role, he still knew what he was doing at that point.
He did. He still had the psychology,
right,
you know, and he was a master of that.
And he played it in the reverse role where he was vulnerable.
Yeah, it was very cool, very well done. Now, he had a very, very turbulent late 90s, which we all know,
and
early 2000s.
We kind of covered in Heroes of Wrestling.
We covered it.
That review.
That was one of the lowest points. Obviously, he had a lot of, you know, drug and alcohol abuse issues. ending is...
Nobody really ever thought he would be okay. After a while, people just gave up, but Diamond Dallas Page.
Not DDP, and the story had a happy ending. You know, Jake's doing great now.
Yep.
And that always makes us happy when we talk about that. You know,
right.
I know that.
And we can say with certainty Jake, the chapters have been closed. I guess the book in total has been closed on Jake the Snake Roberts' career, and he seems to be enjoying retirement now that he's clean. And
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. You know, it all turned out good for Jake, and deservingly so. Worked a long time for the company.
Yep.
Did a lot of good work. Put people over.
Yes, he did. He put people over. He put his matches over. They had a distinct quality, a distinct feel because of his psychology. His promos were almost second to none for the period of time. They were incredible.
If he did not go through the demons he went through, he probably would be on the writing staff for some promotion to this day, because
he had the mind.
I know he wanted to do that, but you know, things happen but
we're glad that he is doing so well right now.
Right,
he is a great gimmick personality, whatever you want to call it,
a mind for the business
and one of the masters of psychology and promos,
right?
And that is why I would say Jake the Snake Roberts is one of the best things to come out of the 80s.
Yes, no doubt about
influence, it influence widespread. There wouldn't be a Bray Wyatt, there wouldn't be an Undertaker without Jake Roberts,
right? Yeah, that's about it.
That was one of the templates for
that. Yeah, it's a very clean ending, nice clean cut, and, you know, just a fantastic personality, wrestler, whatever you want to say.
Absolutely. Folks, we'll be back right after this.
You bring on anybody you want, Coco Beware, Frankie Beware, that bird he comes around with. What a silly little thing that is. You bring Frankie Beware around that snake, my man, and Frankie be gone soon. That's the kind of guy I am. I'm the kind of guy right now, if I needed to sneeze, I'd use your hand. That's the kind of guy I am. So it doesn't matter to me if I'm going to be wrestling George Steele, or I wouldn't even mind crossing the fence, because I have no friends in this business. This is a business to me. I take it as a business. And it's serious business. And I'm talking about perhaps becoming a champion. The Intercontinental Championship is on my mind. And the reason it is because once you have that, then Hogan is right there. You got him anytime you want. So, Macho Man, just something to think about, my man. Could you handle a snake? I don't know why. Could you?
And welcome back, wrestling fans, to our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. We are glad to be with you here this Monday, April 17th, 2017, for episode number 27. Quinn,
yes.
You know what time it is, right?
Oh, I do.
It's time for our Mount Rushmore and Death Valley segment of the show. Now, this one, folks, if you haven't been watching, this is where we're going to take four of the best of something and put them on Mount Rushmore, and four of the worst of something, and we will put them into the desert of Death Valley, where I believe The Undertaker is retired to.
Yeah, I think he's just kind of sitting on a rocking chair, like underground tunnels or something. Yeah.
Underground tunnels?
Well, because remember, he went into the floor at the end.
Oh, right. Yeah, so he
had to take the Hyperloop back to Death Valley from Sunshineville, wherever they were.
Oh, okay. You know, Quinn, for this week, it's my pick, and it's interesting that we were talking about Jake the Snake Roberts, because my Mount Rushmore and Death Valley for this week is gimmicks and characters.
Ooh, gimmicks and characters. So the best gimmicks and the worst gimmicks.
Yes. Now, this will be an interesting one. We always do a little bit of a parameter here.
Mm-hmm.
For the worst especially, but I guess for the best also, like for the worst, it can't be something that no one knows about at some indie fed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're dealing within our niche here.
Yes.
You know, North American wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, character or gimmick, because they're not exactly the same thing.
Right.
So you get the first pick. What do you think? What's a really good one that comes to mind?
If I was to say, like, character, where character is important and I think drove a lot of stuff. Honestly, like, this might sound really cliche, but when I think of the best, I really think of, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin, the idea of the ass kicker, like, doesn't like his boss, like, I feel like it's, like, the basis of, like, everything that still exists to this day.
Yeah, you know what? Austin is one of the best characters. That was his gimmick, was that character.
Right.
That was the gimmick, right?
Yeah, and especially the early stuff is actually really good. This I'm not afraid of anything, and that, like, I'll come to your house and beat you up if, like, it takes that.
I don't respect authority. I don't respect tradition.
Yeah, I guess if you were to name his character, is the the no respect for authority character.
Yeah, the rebel.
The anti-authoritarian character.
Exactly. And he also, you know, on top of that, drank his beer and all that stuff.
Right.
Did the cursing and the middle fingers.
It's an archetype that I think is used for, like, every baby face now, really, because...
Yeah.
I mean, seriously,
it's
I don't like my boss, right? For better or for worse,
yes.
It's an influential and, like, probably one of the strongest of those type of characters. Like, and if you were to look at his peers, like The Rock.
Sure.
Like, The Rock is in the archetype of I'm just a cool guy kind of thing. And there's been like a million cool heel slash faces guys.
Yep.
It's not the same thing. It's like
not.
Austin is like a, it's like a new thing. Like at the time, and it is like the basis of a lot of baby faces now.
Okay. Before we put one on there, let me counterweight this one.
Okay.
What about Ric Flair, the Nature Boy?
The Nature Boy is another good one.
Right?
The wheeling,
kiss stealing,
kiss,
wheeling,
yeah,
dealing.
Yeah, wheeling, dealing. The reason I think Flair is the best of his kind,
mm-hmm.
but I do think even before him, the idea was played out already with Gorgeous George, right? Like, he was the,
well,
he was the modern-day version of that.
Yes and no. Gorgeous George is more of the effeminate type, but you could say that the Nature Boy Buddy Rogers was really before Ric Flair.
Okay, yeah, and the idea is that he's a stud, right? He can
yes.
get all the women, he's rich, and...
Jet-flying, limousine riding, you
yeah,
know, all
and,
that crap.
I mean, Ric Flair is a great...
It's a great character.
It's a great character. And it works. You know why Ric Flair's awesome? And just like Austin, it's timeless. There's always a douche, like in every generation, who's,
yes.
I'm rich and screw you. Like, even now, they have Bobby Roode, right?
Yep.
I mentioned him early in the show. He's basically Ric Flair. It's
in a lot of ways, yes.
Yeah, it's, I'm rich and I can beat you up and all the women like me and screw you. Like,
okay.
So, I mean, Ric Flair is another good character. If I was... The thing with Ric Flair, though, is that I don't know if his character is more exemplary than his...
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. than his talking ability. Like, if I was to make a Rushmore of talkers...
Right.
I'd put Flair there, but I don't know if the character is as different as his personality.
Okay, so do you think Austin's character gimmick is better than Flair's?
I do, because I think Austin's was more bombastic.
Revolutionary?
Revolutionary. Ric Flair's was a take on an already existing
trope.
Character.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Nothing like Austin.
There was nothing like Austin, and Sandman is the closest thing I could think of, but he was more of like a slob.
Yeah, Sandman's more, the idea is that he's kind of like the everyman,
mm-hmm.
whereas Austin's like... Even though they want to tell you he's an everyman, it's like, no, Austin's one of a kind. Like, it's like, there's no, like, he would never meet a person that didn't give a crap at this level, at this much. You know what I mean?
Dick the Bruiser might have been one of the earlier types of that, too, in AWA in the 60s, 70s.
But not to the heights of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Not to the heights of Steve Austin.
Yeah.
I think if you're okay with it, I'm good with putting Austin on.
I agree.
Because I don't know that we're going to find too much better than that.
And I think that you can table Flair, because I do think Flair's up there.
He's up there.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's put Steve Austin on.
Okay.
So there you go. Steve Austin's number one.
Yeah.
All right, well, I threw Flair at you. Why don't you throw another one at me?
You know, who comes to mind is Roddy Piper as a character.
All right, how would you define his character?
Again, a rebel,
yep.
but I like the idea of a slightly madman rebel.
Trash-talking madman.
Trash-talking madman. And I think that it's been used elsewhere, and
sure.
I want to say that Piper is the innovator behind that type.
Absolutely, he was an innovator in that way. Absolutely.
His character could... make his matches seem better too. This guy that's willing to, you know, bare knuckle fight you if it comes down to it.
Sure.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care about titles. Like,
he wasn't a wrestler, quote
yeah,
unquote.
He's like a barroom brawler, really. And
okay.
like, I love that character. Like, and just like, I love the stuff he would say, like, you know, just when you think you have all the answers, I change all the questions.
Sure.
Like that. And I think that perfectly, like, encapsulates, like, that type of character, is that he truly is a madman.
He was a madman. He was a crazy man. He would out-talk you.
Right.
And out-fight you.
He was smart, but he was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So the smart, I guess you'd say the smart crazy, right? Like
right.
That combination, and it's chaotic, and
sure.
it, you know, he could have legendary brawls in Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
And like these matches weren't even designed to be brawls. They were just regular matches. But it's Piper, and Piper doesn't care about the rules.
Okay.
And it's like Austin, but it's not at the same time, because Austin is, no, I have an objective. Like, I don't like you, my boss, Vince McMahon, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to defy you. Mm-hmm. Whereas Piper, it's like somebody might have started shit with him, or he started shit with somebody
else.
And
he'll take it too far.
And he'll take it too far, and he'll just ramble.
Yeah.
That his promos, too, were another part of that character that was like, this is just, he'll ramble, but it's Piper, so it's like, it's acceptable. You know what I mean? Like, normally a rambly guy like the Ultimate Warrior, for example, is another notable character.
Yeah.
Piper's different because it feels like he's like a mad genius scientist, but he's crazy. So it's like, you know, like, it's just different than the just mad man.
Piper's a good one. Quinn, I'm going to throw one at you, though.
Okay.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah. The Macho Man, definitely. The Macho Man, what's cool about him is that he does all sorts of things. Like, and what I like about Savage is throwing a little crazy, throwing a little emotional.
Yep, definitely.
Tenderhearted.
To an extent, yeah.
Yeah, but throw in, like, I'm the best in the world, like, good wrestler.
Some arrogance.
It's this hodgepodge of things, and it's something that only works in wrestling. Savage is one of those things, like, if there was any other athlete him in real life, it wouldn't make any sense. But only in wrestling can a guy like Randy Savage... Like, Randy Savage, to me, is the typical wrestler. It's what people think of when they think of a wrestler and they don't know wrestling.
That's a good point. He was able to be, at the same time, a huge egomaniac, but so down to earth.
Right. And he can reach out and touch your heart. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you would feel bad for him if you got the crap beat out of him, but at the same time, you could want to just kill him if he...
his girlfriend like shit.
Yeah, when he did anything to his girlfriend, you know, you wanted to get out of the crowd and be like, no, that's a lady. Like, don't do that, you know?
He had the ability to tug at the heartstrings and make you fighting mad at the same time, and he was
awesome. In the same hand where you're mad about how he treats his lady, at the same time, you're rooting for him to change...
Yep.
To become a great man.
What a story arc, too, that was. He's one of the best, I mean, overall, right?
Yeah, I think he's like a no-doubter, actually.
I think he might have to be number two.
Yeah, because it's just he runs the table, really, of like all the different emotions and
Someone you
types.
Can get invested in, but also cheer against when the time is right.
Mm-hmm.
Just someone that you care about. And that's one of the best things about a character or a gimmick is that you care about what happens.
Even when Randy Savage got older and he wasn't as prevalent or prominent, but like, you know that Savage like at the very end with the...
In 94?
No,
WCW.
WCW. I still cared about him.
Yeah, sure.
Like, that shows the power of Randy Savage. It's like, he's not even in this great thing, but it's like, I want to know what's going to happen. I love Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care that he's doing something stupid.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's Randy Savage.
So do we put him on there?
Yeah.
Let's put him on there. All right, well, we've got Stone Cold Steve Austin and Randy Savage. You got one for me, Michael.
Well, would you consider the Hulkster a character necessarily?
He's an asshole,
yeah,
that character.
I feel like we need to talk to about him for a second because he's one of the most popular characters of all time.
The thing that I don't like about his character is that it's a jerk that shouldn't be a jerk.
Right.
Hollywood Hogan, maybe.
Yes. Ugh, man, it's tough with Hogan because I feel on one sense he's good at making you want him to win.
Yeah, the prime Hogan, sure.
But at the same time, it's like he does that thing that like Cena does where it's like this unintentional because he's the number one guy.
Yep.
Because of that, it's like there's this weird side consequence when he does something bad to somebody. It's always like by accident because of the way the story is.
It's always set up to make it look like he did it by accident, right? With Orndorff or with Savage or anything
like that. Well, it's by consequence of you being him like being up front and like the primary thing. So like you're defaultly supposed to agree with him. But if you think about it, it breaks it. Like, you know
what
I mean?
I totally agree. I don't know if I put him on there in either, you know?
Yeah.
And same thing with Cena for the same reason.
He's somewhere in the middle. It's like when...
Yep.
I think when you get up to that point when you're like this... The super face character, basically the face of the company, but also super face in meaning a baby face, like...
Yeah.
It's hard to say they're the best or the worst.
Yes.
They're just kind of there.
They're there. I don't think he's the worst, definitely.
Right.
But he's not the best.
I think Austin's the only one that defied that trait.
I agree.
Because he got over because of his character rather than his, like, being the baby face of your, the company.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, what about this? This is more on the gimmick side, but it works. Someone we talked about recently, The Undertaker.
Right. The Undertaker is definitely up there. I guess it's, you know what The Undertaker, for me, the problem is with his character is the too much being in the background kind of thing.
True, but a good character, though, no?
Good character.
Good gimmick.
Good gimmick. Do I consider him, like, the best character, though? It's like, that's the thing. It's like, it seems like an easy character to play, first of all.
That's true. You don't have to sell that much. And yeah. You just, you talk in a lower voice.
Yeah. I mean, and you,
that's a good point.
And when you get hit, you no sell stuff. Yeah, and just get up and that, like,
that's
that
true.
Thing.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like nuanced at all.
It's not. Yeah. It wasn't anyway for a lot of its life. Even now.
Yeah.
In the
is it like the best? I mean, like,
maybe not.
It's not the worst. It's just, is it
unique?
It,
yes.
Yeah.
Unique, but. Yeah, you might be right. Maybe not.
It's not nuanced enough. I think I'm leaning again towards Flair because at least Flair has like some nuance to it.
To an extent.
No, well, the idea that I like what I do like about Flair's character is that they took it to a place where he could be vulnerable, and making the stud character vulnerable is an interesting concept.
Yeah. Okay, I can give you that.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's like when they did the stuff where, like, he has success now, right? But now these guys are screwing with his family and shit like that. And it's like this that he built from his success. It's like, you know, like, okay. That's a nuanced thing.
There's a little bit there. Can I throw another one at you?
Sure.
All right. This is an interesting one because it's similar to Flair, but it's not similar to Flair. And that'd be Dusty Rhodes' Common Man character.
The Common Man
the
character.
The 80s
yeah.
prime Dusty Rhodes, you know? Too everyman, too broad.
I think Dusty is awesome. Like, no doubt about it. Nuanced, great. Great promos.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely great promos. Maybe it's the generation I'm from, but it's do I, like, look back and I'm like, I feel like it's hard to be as sympathetic for Dusty Rhodes, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It's because he's... Because of his size, and this is nothing against, like, being... This is not an out-of-shape thing or anything. It's that he doesn't look like he should be vulnerable. Like, he looks like he's bigger than all of his opponents, so it's harder to...
Yes, but he's also a little mushy.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's like Dusty Rhodes should be able to overpower any opponent the way he is.
With his fatness?
I'm not even fat, just that he just looks like he's a strong dude. Like,
does
he's
he?
Yeah, if you take a step back for a second and think about it.
How many steps?
It's a big hoss, but they never portray him that way. Essentially, he's a big hoss.
He's supposed to be a common man, though, like the guy you'd find working at your hardware store.
And I get it. If I was to think of, honestly, a better common man than Dusty, and this may be a credit to Dusty because he probably helped him in some capacity, is Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I mean, I knew you were going to bring him up, or I was even thinking about at least discussing him.
Because he truly looks like an everyman rather than Dusty Rhodes that looks like bigger than the common man.
I guess, but I don't know. Daniel Bryan was great.
Dusty Rhodes is a weird paradox because he's larger than life, but
literally,
he's a common man.
He's the like, Biggie size at Wendy's.
No. I mean, larger than life is just in everything. Like,
well, promos, personality, character, yeah.
But he's a common man at the same time, whereas Daniel Bryan, he looks like a dude.
He looks like the underdog, too.
Yeah, he looks like an underdog. He looks like he could be you or me, just slightly bigger.
Sure.
Like, longer
hair. I
think we're
actually taller than him.
Yeah, like, I love, and the idea that he's, like, a good wrestler, like, he has all the tools, but he's just kind of, like, you can't get the job done because he's held back or whatever, and I like that. Like,
I think those are all valid points, Quinn, but I don't think they qualify him for this. However, I have one for you that I think you might agree with, and I think we'd actually be remiss to not mention him at the very least, but maybe even put him on, because he was revolutionary, and that would be Superstar Billy Graham.
Superstar Billy Graham, I think, yeah. You know what? That's like a no-brainer, because... It's what Hulk Hogan
is.
Yeah.
He is Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
A lot of guys were influenced by him. He was an innovator, one of the first of his kind.
Right.
The cool heel, the charismatic promos.
Was Dusty slightly before him or not?
They came up around the same time, but I know that I
feel like Billy Graham did it better.
I think that style of promo.
Yeah.
He did, but Dusty's like no slouch, obviously.
Well, you know what's interesting about Dusty and Superstar Billy Graham? It's the same promo style, but gone in completely different directions. Whereas the superstar Billy Graham is, I'm so great and I'm better. It's more the Ric Flair style. But Dusty is, I'm just a common man.
Yeah.
You know, like...
working hard with my hands.
Yeah, I'm just cool, calm, but I'm
Billy
a common
Graham,
man.
I am the champion.
Yeah.
I am the greatest.
I am the greatest, yeah.
This is my belt.
Yep.
Love that promo.
Superstar Billy Graham, though.
Innovator, Quinn.
Innovator, yeah. I mean, there was nothing like him.
He's a better character than Hulk Hogan because of that.
Right.
He was the reason there could be a Hogan or a Hollywood Hogan.
Yes.
Or a Papa Pump. Yep. Remember Papa Pump?
There's plenty of people in his type. I feel like most of the 80s characters, it's like, even to a certain extent, the Ultimate Warrior, he's the madman version of that
of
big,
Billy Graham.
Big buff, you know, like, yeah. Oh, I'm bigger than everyone and I look good and stuff like that. I wear bright colors.
Yep, the tie-dye.
Like, yeah, it's
the
like...
blonde hair.
Yeah,
that
the
look,
long hair in
the
general.
The long blonde yep. hair, yeah. the look. He might not have been too much in the ring, and he might not have been great in the 80s as Karate Billy Graham.
But before that...
But Superstar Billy Graham, I think he has to go on.
He laid the foundation, so yes.
I think we have to put him on, Quinn, yep. So he'll have to be number three.
Okay.
So we have Austin, Macho Man, and Superstar Billy Graham?
Yeah.
All right. So we have one more. I have another one for you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if this will qualify, but what about the Million Dollar Man?
The Million Dollar Man. Okay. So this is again, in the conundrum.
It's a great gimmick.
It's a great gimmick. It's the pure evil form of money that Ric Flair is. Like, it's
the condensed, concentrated evil version of it, right?
Yeah, it's like the concentrated evil of Ric Flair's, like, I'm rich part.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I think holds it back from being up there.
Okay.
Is that it's
one-sided?
It's one-sided. It's a very compartmentalized version of a bunch of other things.
Yeah, it's not nuance. It's in your face about what it is.
Right.
There's no depth to
no.
it.
No. It's this... And what do you do with it after it runs its course?
That's very true. I mean,
yeah.
If DiBiase hadn't retired when he did, right, in 93.
He was running out of
even
steam
by
anyway.
Then,
yeah.
Exactly. So, that you know what? That's a very fair point.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't think we'll discuss him. Do you have any more?
I don't know. I'm still leaning. Flair's really hard to get past because it's just...
I know.
Promos. Yeah, it's just... It's all there. And like, Piper's my number two.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's like, Piper also. Now, I don't put The Rock on there. Even though he was funny, even though he's entertaining.
What do you think? What about Bobby the Brain Heenan?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. As a character?
Yeah, as a character, right? His gimmick was that he was the brain. But there was depth to it.
There was a lot of depth
to it. He was a bumbling idiot, really, but he was evil.
But he was also smart.
But he was.
The brain wasn't, at times they would say he wasn't as smart, but at the same time he was. Like the whole DiBiase selling the contract thing. And
he was smart, but he was a bumbling idiot that was very funny, but very mean.
Yeah.
It's a very
and it's nuanced all over the place, like the tripping, like things, like in just like... As far as, like, a performer...
He might be one of the best,
Performing a character...
Yep.
Not any of the guys on this list had as much nuance as Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Bobby the Brain Heenan is, like, one of a kind. It's tough to even, like, compare because the stuff he would just pull out of his butt, basically, and it's unbelievable. Like,
well, if we think about the three that we've put on, right?
We've put wrestlers, but we didn't do a manager.
Exactly. But if we think about why we put them on, with someone like Stone Cold Steve Austin, it was because he was really the first to define his archetype, right?
Yeah.
He was the anti-authority rebel that wanted to kick your ass and all this stuff, right? The beer drinking, all that. That's his gimmick. That's his character.
Yeah.
Randy Savage was an egotistical guy, but he had heart. He had, like, these different difficulties, and you could see them manifest, right?
Yeah.
Billy Graham was an innovator because Billy Graham was not only charismatic, but he had the look, and he could back it up in the ring,
right?
And he was the first true superstar in that regard. But when you look at Bobby Heenan, another innovator, because he was one of the funniest personalities at a time where wrestling wasn't really comedic,
but he could turn it on to serious.
Exactly.
Like in the case of Rick Rude, right?
Rick Rude,
it was like, I'm gonna manage this guy and he's gonna really hurt people, like, when I want him to.
Sure.
And then when he's gonna gloat about it when I want him to, you know, gloat about it.
Or, like, Ric Flair.
You know what Bobby does well is he portrays himself as a puppeteer. meaning
as
like
a manager,
as
yes,
pulling the strings.
Yes.
And if you think about it, even Vince's egomaniac, I'm pulling the strings, master plans. Bobby the Brain Heenan was all about master plans and pulling the strings. Even though he would bumble his way there, it still was there and it was a threat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Oh, man, we might have to put him on. I mean, there's Mr. McMahon's a great character, just to say a few names real quick.
But Mr. McMahon's the concentrated evil version without any, like, you know, there'd be times when Vince peed his pants, and that's a Bobbyism, though, in essence. It's if
the
you
clown,
bring him,
yeah.
if you bring him to his knees, he becomes a clown.
Yeah.
But if you allow Bobby to get one up on you, he's brutal and merciless.
That's like, true. He's not nice.
Yeah.
And this has nothing to do with him as a commentator necessarily. This is just the character.
The character Bobby the Brain Heenan in general.
And that's his gimmick that fits hand in hand, right? I mean, his gimmick is that he's the brain, but he's also a weasel, you know?
He's a brain that is a weasel.
What do you think, Quinn?
I think Bobby's in there.
I think he's number four on the Rushmore.
Yep.
So, we have Stone Cold Steve Austin, we have Macho Man Randy Savage, we have Superstar Billy Graham, and we have Bobby the Brain Heenan. You know what's interesting? All four of those guys have nicknames that define what they were all about, too. Isn't that funny?
Well, that makes a good character, I guess.
Right? So, folks, that is our Mount Rushmore of what we think are the best gimmicks or characters in wrestling. Let us know what you think yours are. You could do that by tweeting at us at OVP Podcast. You can email us at ovppodcast@gmail.com. And Quinn, they can go to our website and...
Yeah,
comment.
You can chat on there. There's comment section. So if, you know, for this podcast, you can just go to the entry, I guess, for this episode and leave a comment right in there. And talk. You can talk with the other fans, too, see what you guys think. So
love to hear what you think. So I guess, Quinn, it's time to move on to the worst of the worst. And I guess I will start this one off.
Yes.
Since you had the first pick on the other one there. Okay, so the worst characters and gimmicks, I guess this, you know, I guess we should qualify this a little bit. I already said it can't be just some local indie crap because there's tons of crap there.
Yeah.
It has to be something that was somewhat prominent, I guess, even if it was short-lived. And it has to be something that maybe made no sense or the way the character acted didn't line up with like what they were supposed to be. Maybe that would make it bad, too. Or just something that was befuddling or just out of place or inappropriate. And you know what? I know this is like you can look at mid-90s WWF or early 90s WCW and get like a laundry list of bad gimmicks. So this might be harder.
Well,
than
did
we
they
think.
Have to be monumental enough or something?
I don't know. I guess we'll just feel it out as we go for it.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to throw one at you, and I'm not going to take the easiest route. I'm sure you might.
Yeah, I think I'll cut some corners here, but...
But what the fuck were they thinking with T.L. Hopper?
Wait, hey! Here! T.L. Hopper here. How y'all doing out there?
T.L. Hopper is...
like, really?
Well, you know what's befuddling about it? It's like, usually the WWF likes to comment a lot about how they, you know, is this character threatening? Like, is it a threat? Like, will they, you know, do they seem like they can beat anybody up? And, like, T.L. Hopper is a plumber.
What were they thinking?
Yeah, that one makes no sense. Like, even in all those, like... That group we talked about, I forget what it is, but that group that like Cornette brought in.
Oh no.
He was part of it.
Yeah, he was part
of it.
But
like all those guys, at least at minimum, seemed like a threat. Like the Pug was like
a wrestler.
And
Tracy Smother, or what's his name? Freddie Joe Floyd was a wrestler.
And Salvatore Sincere was like a wise guy.
Yeah.
Like, but the plumber? Like... T.L. Hopper?
That's one of those things that makes you embarrassed to be a wrestling fan during that period
right.
of time.
And his music's just a toilet flushing. I mean, let's give it this much. They got the gimmick down. It makes sense.
That's true. Like, you're right.
Yeah, it is what it says it is.
Even the goon.
Yeah, even the goon. He's a hockey player.
He did it.
Yeah.
He was good at it.
Yeah. I mean,
in
its context, yes. But in practice, as a professional wrestler... It doesn't make much sense.
No, it doesn't. Same thing with the wrestling garbage man, Duke the Dumpster Drozzy.
Right.
But
these are all like...
These are easy ones.
And here's the thing is, are they bad characters as much, like, meaning, like, is the performer performing them right? Like, you know what I mean?
They
like,
are.
Yes.
That's the thing. Now, I'm going to give you one here. Let's not put anything on yet. I'm going to give you one.
Well, I always think the gobbledygooker makes zero sense in every way possible.
Tell me why.
Because, so, they do this whole thing with the egg, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why people think this, but they think, like, Ric Flair was going to be in the egg.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, whatever. But it ends up... So, but the expectation is it's going to be a wrestler, right?
Sure.
And a chicken pops out, or a turkey, or whatever the hell he is, and just starts gobbling and gooking. And
the gobbledygook. Ha! Don't tell me you're the gobbledygooker. You've got to be kidding me.
What was the expectation? What, like... To me, to the fans, I'm like, so is this guy going to wrestle? And in fact, I think there's certain fans who misremember and think he actually wrestled.
Right, he didn't.
But he never wrestled.
No.
But that's because it failed so much, because I think, like, it almost is a complete failure on every front, because it's like he comes out, and then they must have realized at some point, how could a guy wrestle in this costume? Like, it doesn't, nothing about it is, like, it just doesn't work.
And the sad part is, the guy in the costume was a damn good wrestler, yeah. Hector Guerrero.
Yeah, Hector Guerrero. So it's like, I don't really get what anything with that
why
is.
Why,
like,
they did this?
What is this character? Is it supposed to be human? That's never, like...
Because he didn't talk, he just gobbled and gooked.
Is it like a is it literally a gigantic turkey?
It might,
like,
be.
I don't get it.
I'm not sure what that's all about, but you know what, Quinn? While we're talking about poultry, can I throw one at you?
Sure.
The Red Rooster.
There's a lot of things going on in the World Wrestling Federation right now. And yes, the Red Rooster wants to get his claw right in the middle of it.
The Red Rooster.
That might be worse.
Yeah.
That really might be worse.
Well, you know why it's worse? It's not only just... It's unthreatening, it's stupid, or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a good wrestler doing it.
Yep.
But it's like, I don't get what he's supposed to be. Because he doesn't act like an actual... Like, he does...
Sometimes he pecks and he...
Sometimes he... But is that just, like, him getting into his, like,
But why
nickname?
Is he a rooster, then?
Is because he, like... He postures, and he's like, he's such a good representative of wrestling. So he
what?
Like, a rooster is like the top of the hen house, right? So it's like he's the top of the hen house that is the WWF.
He wakes you up in the morning. Like, I don't understand the motivations here. He's a cock.
I'm just saying the rooster is like the alpha male. You know what I'm saying? Like, in
but
the,
why would you call him the Red Rooster?
I don't get it, man.
That might be worse than the gobbledygooker.
It might be.
I'm serious.
I think we could put both of them on.
I think
honest.
It ruined Terry Taylor's career.
Oh, yeah. It definitely ruined his career.
He could have been something.
He had a promising career before
he's
that.
A good wrestler.
In NWA.
And a good talker.
Yeah, and he comes to WWF and he's the Red Rooster.
Freaking rooster.
And you know what didn't make sense about it either?
What?
Is the whole thing with Bobby the Brain Heenan managing him?
Yeah.
Like, what?
I don't know.
Even Bobby, like, it doesn't make any sense because Bobby picks, like, blue chippers, and, like, it just doesn't add up.
The ironic part of all that is that, like, after Bobby dumped him, just to, like, prove how shitty the rooster was, he picked Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah, that should say enough. That really should say enough.
Bobby's like, you're so crappy that I'm going to make the brawler better than you.
And the brawler was better than him.
Yeah, in that time, yes.
Yeah.
Rooster's in?
Yeah, Red Rooster,
all
without
right.
question.
Here he goes.
Die, die, die.
All right, so that's one bird.
But should we put the gobbledygooker in?
I don't know
in?
Yet.
I don't know.
Who else you got?
I think a lot of the people in the Dungeon of Doom don't make any sense.
Oof.
Yeah. Like...
Ooh. Like who? Like Loch Ness?
Loch Ness.
The Yeti.
The Yeti. The Yeti is the best one.
Yes.
Because, okay, the Yeti is like, he's not even a Yeti.
He's a mummy.
He's a mummy. So right off the bat, you got it wrong.
Yeah, you know what? Yes,
yeah,
you're
like,
right.
You don't even have to, like, discuss the Yeti. Like, the Yeti is so freaking horrible in every way. Like, the character makes no sense. He doesn't even do anything. He just hugs with the giant. They, like...
It's so creepy.
Yeah, and the worst part is the Yeti's doing it from the back.
And he's got, like, toilet paper wrapped around him, yeah. And Shivani calls him the Yeti.
And the Yeti!
Everything about him is a failure.
I think that has to also, like you said, he can't really be discussed further. You look at it and you're like, this is bad. What's that guy's name? The mummy? No, it's the Yeti.
Yeah.
Fail.
What's hilarious is that I've shown this to casual fans or people who don't know wrestling as much.
Well, Donnie was one of them, right?
Yeah. He just didn't get it.
Yes, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
He's the Yeti, but he's dressed like a mummy, and he doesn't do anything. And
yeah.
Why did they do this? Because WCW if you're with me, I'll turn the key and throw him into the desert.
Throw him in.
All right, he's in.
Die, die, die.
Oh, we're breezing through this, huh?
Yeah.
This is easier than I thought. Man, the Yeti. What about Sparky Plug? Not offensive enough?
Not offensive enough because, at the very least, the idea also is that he's an athlete because race car drivers were considered athletes back then.
I'm an athlete every time I go buy cigarettes then.
Yeah. I mean, they are athletes to a certain degree because it does take a lot to drive a car. But it
takes a lot to drive my 98 Nissan.
No, I mean like for like 500 laps or whatever.
Yeah,
so
whatever.
Yeah. But I don't think Sparky Plug falls into that.
Okay.
That, bad
okay,
gimmick.
Fine. Fair enough.
There's a lot of WWF stuff.
A lot of WCW stuff. Remember Arachnaman?
Yeah.
The Spider-Man ripoff? That was pretty damn bad.
There was also Glacier. I mean,
yeah, there is Glacier. There's always Glacier.
There's always Glacier.
Now, Glacier was Mortal Kombat. He was Sub-Zero.
Yeah. And what's even worse, to compound his crappiness, there's like they made like arch enemies that would only fight Glacier, like Mortis.
Yes. Mortis was one of them.
Yeah. So what was all of that?
That was horrible.
And James Vanderbeek.
Vandenberg.
No, wasn't his. Oh, yeah. Vandenberg. But it's Sinister Minister. But
yes,
like
James Vanderbeek was the guy from Dawson's Creek.
Okay. Sorry, wrong Vander.
It's fine. Art Vandalay.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Can I just throw another WCW one out there while we're at
sure.
it? The Kiss Demon? Why?
Well, at least he's Kiss. I mean,
in the 90s?
I'm just saying, at least it makes sense.
Come on.
I don't know.
You're okay with the Kiss Demon? Fine. Okay.
You know, Crime Time's pretty strange,
ooh,
too. Yeah.
Crime Time.
It's kind of
sucked.
Befuddling because, like, I couldn't tell if they were, like, gangsters or hoodlums.
But they were, like jokey faces, too.
Yeah. And,
with
like,
a stupid
they were,
name.
And they were, like, they were acting like they were baby faces, but they were literally stealing things. Like, and I just, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, is this encouraged? Like,
that's
like,
a good point, Quinn.
I don't get it.
I didn't like Crime Time at all. Not because of the wrestlers, because they were good.
Yeah.
They were actually pretty good. Because of the gimmick, because of the character, because they were faces that acted like heels.
It didn't make sense. But there's plenty of faces that we're talking
yeah.
about Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
Maybe not them, but you know what's one? Hold on. If we were talking tag teams, the Ding Dongs.
Oh, my God.
What even is that?
Yeah.
Like,
okay. You
yeah,
know what?
Like,
yes.
What, like, literally, what is that?
Yeah. What is that?
It's just a bell joke, like a ring bell joke.
You know that highbrow bell humor?
Yeah. And on top of that, they look like remember
penises.
Well, not only that, but you remember the in Pulp Fiction, like Zed or whatever?
Yeah.
Like Zed's dead and like putting the ball in the mouth. Like they look like weird sadomasochistic, like golden like conquistadors, but not
yes,
yeah,
right.
Like
you know what? You're right, Quinn. The ding dongs
yeah.
have to go in.
Yeah,
that was awful.
They're incomprehensible, like what that is.
I'm with you. That was never gonna get over. It was never gonna be anything good. So they are going down to the desert. Let's just throw them in there.
Die, die, die.
Yes.
What about IRS?
I like IRS.
I know you like him, but does the idea like I don't get the accountant like would be wrestling thing?
It's a tax man.
Yeah, but I mean he's kind of a accountant slash taxman. I'm only saying that because like a guy who worked for the IRS is essentially an accountant. He counts
true.
Numbers. Like so
you're right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
if he's literally supposed to be like he works for the IRS, like why would he be wrestling?
Well, I mean, when you think of IRS, do you think fun?
No.
And he was perfect at that gimmick because he was so freaking
yeah,
boring.
I mean, I guess.
And he was a good wrestler. He was okay.
Well, I mean, again, it's not about the wrestling of the character.
I know.
It's the character IRS.
Yeah.
Does it make any sense? Like,
it makes more sense than the ding dongs. I mean,
I mean, like an accountant in like a with a tie on. Like, I just never like. I was like, why am I supposed to think this guy has any business in the ring? Like, if I don't know that that's Mike Rotunda, if I'm just somebody coming on to watch this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, you're right. I get it. I don't know if I can call him one of the worst, though.
I'm just throwing him out there.
I would say Cowabunga the Ninja Turtle was worse in WCW. That was pretty bad.
Or RoboCop.
Well, I mean, that was actually RoboCop.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, actually, if you're a kid. But
what about, oh, I have one. Jeff Jarrett, the country singer.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
an entertainer. Well, he's in sports entertainment. I mean,
but he was a singer that didn't sing for like 2 years, and his whole idea was he wanted to use wrestling as a stepping stone to country music.
Yeah,
what kind of garbage is that?
I don't get it.
Talk about being off the mark as far as what your audience cares about.
Yeah, I mean,
that was pretty stupid.
Yeah, but rockabilly and you know, ooh, rockabilly's like all worse. That shit, like
Honky Tonk Man is stupid because. Hear me out on this. Honky Tonk Man acted like he invented the idea of Elvis. Like Elvis ripped him off. But he didn't.
Well, that's kind of funny, though.
But he didn't sound like Elvis. He didn't talk like Elvis. He didn't sing Elvis songs. It was always country music, like Roy Orbison songs.
I don't know. I think he's good enough of a character.
I just don't like him.
Yeah, I think you just don't like him.
Big bag of dough.
What about Mantar?
Ooh. You know, Mantar is pretty bad.
It looks like a half-man, half-beast. What do you call him? Mantar? Mantar, that's right.
I know that's like one of the cliche, easy ones.
Well, you know what the thing with Mantar is when I'm thinking about like logically? Mm-hmm. I still don't really perfectly understand what he is.
Oh, he's like, half-man, half-tar.
What is that?
Tar.
Like, it's like a minotaur.
It's
but
what you pave your driveway with.
But like a Mantar, like I just don't get it. Like I,
no
maybe
one did.
call me stupid or something.
I don't think anyone will call you stupid for not getting Mantar.
Yeah, but I like, is he like a ram, but he's human? Like,
yeah.
Is he? Because he would like.
Yep.
Okay, wait. If I was to top Mantar,
yes?
What about Bastion Booger?
Oh man, that's a good
like,
one.
Like, really, what is he? Like,
he's a big fat guy
that just eats, but it seems like there's something more to it that I can't put my finger on.
There's
like,
literally nothing more to it, Quinn. He's a big fat guy.
He just eats, right?
Yes, but that, why do I want to see that?
Yeah.
Why do I want to see that?
I just don't understand. I don't get it.
That's pretty stupid, actually, yeah, now that I think about it.
It's pretty stupid. It's just a guy who eats.
It's just a guy who eats a lot. If I wanted to see that, I can go to the Olive Garden down the street here.
Okay, so I've done the math on this never-ending pasta bowl. There's 42 different sauce and pasta combinations.
Yeah.
And there's 7 of us.
Right.
So if we come here on 3 different nights...
Well, you do the math, I'm doing the Alfredo.
Shut the fuck up!
And why is he a wrestler?
Like, I don't know.
If he just... Like, he should be in an eating competition.
He would win.
Yeah.
He sucked. Really, like, that guy sucked.
Yeah.
He really sucked. Not
you know
the
what,
wrestler.
You know
he's
what,
a nice
as a
guy,
character...
But, yeah.
Oh, man, now I'm just going down the
it's
line
okay.
here.
We got a couple minutes.
Freaking Ludwig Borga, what is he? Like?
Oh, he's an angry Finn.
That's
Finnish
it?
Man.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Aren't people in Finland, like, known to be very, like, happy? Like, isn't that, like, one of the happiest places to live or something?
Until they come here and they see what... America's crumbling, Lex Luger. So he's, like, mad about our pollution, so he's like, I hate Lex Luger.
So, Lex Luger, look at this. This building is crumbling like America is crumbling.
I don't get...
I'm not making it up.
No, but I mean, like, they don't even clarify if he's, like... Because he's dressed like he's, like, MMA or something. Like, I'm not sure. Like, he's got, like, the gloves.
He was a tough man. That was his gimmick. He was, like, was a tough man. Beaver cleavage. Done.
Beaver cleavage.
Done.
Mm.
No. What?
Yeah, but in the context, that makes sense.
It does not make sense.
He's supposed to be Ozzie and Harriet.
I don't... Like, no, he's supposed to be Leave It to Beaver.
Right, but, I mean, it wasn't Ozzie and Harriet the parents of Leave It to Beaver?
No.
Well, whatever.
Ward and June.
Ward and June, sorry.
It's
but
okay, it's 50s. It's,
yeah, but it's like, he's supposed to be a 50s sitcom.
Why?
I don't know why, but...
Why do I want to see that?
I mean, Beaver Cleavage.
And why was that his name?
That's a top contender.
Why was that his name? She was the one with the cleavage.
Well, that was the joke, right?
It was a bad joke.
He's the beaver with cleavage.
No, this goes on, Quinn. I don't even care. Come
well,
on.
Is this just because you hate Vince Russo?
No, I like Vince Russo.
But come on, Joe, like...
But Beaver Cleavage!
Yeah, but we were talking about making sense in the context of the
that
character.
That makes no sense! Why is he all of a sudden from the 50s?
But the eating guy somehow doesn't, like... Why is he wrestling?
I'll tell you what, if he ate a lot but he was skinny, it wouldn't make sense.
Well, actually, okay, I can see Beaver Cleavage because if you think about it, like, if he's supposed to be, like, a kid...
Yes!
Like, why is he a wrestler?
It makes no sense. And why is he, like, screwing his mom but it's his girlfriend?
Yeah.
And why is his name Beaver Cleavage? And that's a stupid name. And why did they do that? No, it's Quinn.
Okay, yeah, fine.
It's worse than Bastion Booger, because at least Bastion Booger is a big fat guy that eats.
Yeah, but he shouldn't. He's not really a wrestler. Like, he gets distracted by eating.
Beaver Cleavage, though. Can I just repeat the words to you?
I know.
Did you like it when it happened?
Not really, and I didn't really particularly understand why it was happening.
Exactly.
Well, I didn't understand it because I was like, is this like somebody's weird sexual fantasy?
Vince Russo's.
Yeah. Is that he could be the beaver and have sex with
the cleavage?
The cleavage person, whatever she was. And it's never clarified if she's his mom.
She's his mom and girlfriend.
Right, so I don't get it.
It's like, horrible.
Yeah.
See how we don't even understand it?
Okay, fine.
Die.
Thank the Lord. So we did it, Quinn. We made it through. So who do we have on here? We have the Ding Dongs on here.
Ding Dongs.
We have Beaver Cleavage on here.
We got the Yeti.
We got the Yeti on here and the Red Rooster.
Yep.
That is a pretty sorry ass
list.
I'm
sure there could be plenty more.
Oh, yeah. And folks, we want to hear. We know we missed people on both of these because we're doing this off the top of our head. We are our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast, and we want to hear from you. So let us know who are the four best and four worst gimmicks or characters in your opinion. You could let us know by tweeting at us at OVP Podcast. You can email us and go to our website, right?
All right.
All right, folks, we will be reviewing something after this.
Vince Russo, sexually frustrated, peanut brained, lowest common denominator appealer, happened to see that Chaz Warrington of the Headbangers, so they decide to give him the single stupidest career killing gimmick, probably even worse than the Red Rooster, because the Red Rooster got some payoffs out of it. This thing lasted a couple of months. It was dead on arrival. Nobody gave a fuck. People laughed at it. Good kid that didn't deserve that, all because Russo noticed that when he smiled, he looked a little bit like Beaver Cleaver. And so he got some big blonde model from somewhere outside wrestling to be his mother cleavage or whatever, Beaver Cleavage. And it was all jokes and it was embarrassing. And it was another case of disrespecting the business by Voldemort.
Bro, I'm watching Jim Cornette and I'm sitting there saying to myself, oh my God, am I becoming Jim Cornette?
You're listening to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast, the fastest growing weekly episodic retro wrestling audio podcast in the world.
And welcome back, wrestling fans, to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Thank you so much for being with us. Quinn, it's our final segment. We are reviewing something.
Yeah, we are.
And this is by iTunes review request.
Well, not so much a request as much as we made a promise.
Yeah.
That if we got two review requests within the iTunes reviews.
Yes, to review it.
Yeah, and this is, I had to get a beer for this. This is,
now, folks,
I usually don't drink during the podcast.
Especially in the morning because we're live.
Yeah.
You know, when everyone's listening to this.
Of course.
But you got to do what you got to do for the job.
Yeah. You got to put like vodka in your coffee or something. I don't know.
Well, it'd be like whiskey, probably. Whatever.
You got to put something that's strong.
Rum in your Coca-Cola?
Yeah, rum in your cola.
You sure? There's no rum in that Coca-Cola?
Something like that.
All right. So, folks, we're doing it. We're reviewing WCW Thunder.
Yes.
Oh, God. And let me just briefly explain. Most of you probably know what it is, but just a quick refresher. Thunder was WCW's B show from January of 98 until WCW closed. It was a two-hour show, just like Nitro was.
Yeah.
It was on TBS, not TNT.
Yeah.
It was on Thursday nights to start.
Right.
And for the first little bit of it, I'd say 98, it was actually a pretty good show.
Right. Because they were trying to launch it, right?
Yes.
This is the same thing when the WWF moves any show to a different channel or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, remember how SmackDown recently moved to USA and they were like, all of a sudden, hey, it's a real show now.
Yeah, like, exactly. Now, one of the things about Thunder that was distinguishing characteristic-wise, aesthetically, was it was the blue show.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. Quinn, why don't you explain the blue show?
Well, you know how SmackDown is the blue show and it's on Thursday nights.
Yep.
Well, this is also on Thursday nights and it was the blue show. But this was first.
This was first.
Yeah.
So this was actually kind of unique. Now, I do want to mention they moved it to Wednesday nights in January of 2000.
So this is the Wednesday version that we watched.
Yes, because this is May 3rd, 2000. Now, I want to preface this. Because the adventure we're about to undertake here is a very rocky road. I want to preface this with A, we did not intentionally choose this specific episode for anything that may or may not happen on it.
Yes, because we literally just looked and we're like, what is an episode in the 2000s? And we just clicked on it.
That's it. Yeah. So we wanted something from 2000 because we knew it wouldn't be good.
Right.
That was the idea.
Well, we knew it was during the Vince Russo yes, era, too.
Exactly. So we're reviewing WCW Thunder from May 3rd, 2000. And Quinn, we get a cold open with a limo ramming into another limo. That's like yeah. all it is.
Well, does it ram into it? Yes. Or, okay. Because there's other limos later. So
there's a lot of limos yeah. in this show.
You know what's the weird part? We just watched this and I'm already like confused. Like, I don't remember everything all the way because there's so much that happens in this show.
There's just like clip after clip in the cold open here. David Arquette. Luger, Vince Russo, DDP, then someone says Kevin Nash is killing three guys.
Kevin Nash is killing three guys!
Hogan's got like dumb non-Hollywood Hogan but black attire on. Mike Awesome's in the cold open. Elizabeth is dressed like a mom.
Yep.
Jeff Jarrett. Ugh.
So what's weird about the opening is that I guarantee you all of this happened in 1 week on like Nitro.
Yeah, this is all like Nitro clips, right?
Yeah.
When you even told me, you're like, I feel like we walked into a time warp.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like I remember during this time, it just everything was, especially on WCW at this point in time, everything was so in your face and like that weird, like they would try to put like a CRT filter on a show on CRT.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever notice that? Like, yes. I'm like, what? Like, yeah, just like that, like, there's chaos everywhere, yep. fighting backstage,
yep.
and they were really all about that.
This is at the height, or I guess the valley of the Vince Russo era, folks, and we are in Memphis at the Mid-South Coliseum.
Yeah, the famous Mid-South Coliseum, yeah, as they say.
Absolutely, and we're hosted by, this was interesting, Tony Schiavone, which, first of all, he was still doing Thunder by then.
I guess they didn't have anybody else.
Mike Tenay, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And Bobby the Brain Heenan?
I swear Bobby the Brain Heenan wasn't in WCW at this point in time.
He
by
looks,
May of 2000?
He looks like he doesn't care at all.
Well, I don't care at all either.
So we go backstage to the Millionaires Club. Now, folks, this is during this period of time where Bischoff and Russo reunited, you know, or yeah. united on screen.
Yeah.
And we had them heading up the New Blood, which was all the younger, underpushed guys, right, Quinn?
Right. Like, and Billy Kidman.
Yeah,
or
sure.
Like that. And
Conan.
Like Conan, yeah.
Rey Mysterio. Rey
Mysterio's a heel with no mask.
Yeah, Mike Awesome, guys like that. And they fought the Millionaires Club. That was the feud. The Millionaires Club, Quinn, was what?
It was like all the older talent, like Hulk Hogan and Diamond Dallas Page.
Sting.
Flair, yeah. It was just the guys that were like the established people, like even Kevin Nash.
Nash, yeah. And Horace Hogan.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, because a Hogan stooge has to always follow Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
To anything.
I'm surprised Beefcake wasn't out there.
I'm surprised, well, later we see him, but I'm surprised Duggan just wasn't in normal form
yeah,
in,
right.
in the Millionaires Club.
So we cut backstage there, and they're just looking at a door the whole time. And Quinn, you told me you feel bad for Bobby Heenan.
Yes, because I don't want to say he's above it because it's wrestling at the
end
of the day.
Yeah, it's wrestling.
But at the same time, like, this seems to besmirch even Bobby the Brain Heenan's standards. Like, this is... This is awful.
Backstage limo is pulling up, and the Millionaires Club assaults the New Blood, who get out of the limo, and that includes Russo and Bischoff.
This is the weirdest assault ever, because if I recall, there's a lot of guys standing around, and some of them are, like, smiling. Like, this is, like, it's so chaotic that I think the people involved are like, this is stupid, like, while yeah. they're, like, acting it out or whatever. Like,
what are we doing?
I swear I saw, like, Crush, like, just,
Crush.
Like, kind of laughing, like as he was, like, doing it.
This episode, by the way, is brought to you by Castrol GTX.
Wow. They brought every wrestling in the 90s.
They like, scooped that sponsor from WWF.
Well, I don't think they scooped it as much. Wrestling was just popular. I'm pretty sure Castrol GTX was also doing WWF at the same time.
Maybe they were.
Yeah.
Then we get a great recap. It's of David Arquette winning the title.
Great! Now, wait a sec. He's the champion right now, isn't he?
Yes!
During this. Oh, God.
The whole build...
He's not even on the show!
No, he's not on the show. The whole build here is for Slamboree, which is coming up soon.
Great. Slamboree 2000, the show everybody wanted to see.
So, in this recap, Jeff Jarrett tells David Arquette that he's like, you decided to be a sports entertainer.
You decided to be a sports entertainer.
You know why this isn't sports entertainment? Because it's Jeff Jarrett.
It's not even entertaining.
Yeah, it's not even entertaining. Jeff Jarrett can't do sports entertainment. You know what I mean? Like, he's not entertaining at all.
It's true. Backstage, Russo yells at the New Blood.
Are you guys kidding me or what? Where the hell are you guys?
So, really, really, like, that makes them just love being in the New Blood, doesn't he? This whole show, you are, like, all, like, about the New Blood. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, why should I like this crew? Because their leader is a dick.
Here's
like,
the thing, folks. Here's the thing that pisses me off about this angle.
Right.
And Quinn, you know this, because I was telling you while we were watching it. The New Blood was the heels, even though you would want to think that the underdog, underpushed younger guys should be the faces against the crabby, out of shape, washed up
Here's
old guys.
Here's the problem, is you're looking at it completely on paper, Joe, right? I'm looking at it in practice, and seeing this play out, there's nothing about the New Blood that is appealing or makes you want to root for them. At all.
Yeah, but what's appealing about the Millionaires Club, Quinn?
At least they're not douchebags.
But they're old douchebags.
Like, but they're not portrayed that way in this episode at all. This is like them assaulting them. If you looked at the clips they were showing, it looked like the Millionaires Club were getting their asses handed to them and getting beat up.
Listen, all I have to say is Tammy Sitch is there.
Yeah.
So the New Blood comes out to ringside, all 45 of them. And Quinn, you say to me, how did Chris Candido wind up in this mess?
Yeah, I knew he was like with Sonny at this point in WCW. And they did the like Sonny would have like the fake Rick Rude music and like strip tease with like tape around her bra so that her boobs look bigger and just very embarrassing stuff. But like, I just didn't know he was in the New Blood.
Yeah, it's sad. And then we got Young Vampiro also.
Yeah, bra. Whatever he says.
Yeah, bro, fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he says.
But he doesn't even talk in this. He's still like The Undertaker or something. Yeah.
Russo gives, you know, a very Russo promo. And I still don't get why the New Blood were booked as the heels. I get right now they're the heels, yes, right. And they're acting like heels. But why did they make them the heels is what I'm asking.
What I don't get, and I say this to you, is I don't get why they didn't put opposing leaders on them. Like, instead they have Ric Flair leading the Millionaires Club, but shouldn't a Bischoff have led them?
Against Russo.
Right.
Perfect.
That makes a million times more sense.
That would have been perfect.
But then now you got this Bischoff and Russo. This doesn't...
This
why
contingency.
Would they, first of all, those guys are in, even in canon storyline, they're supposed to both have big egos. So why would anyone expect this to work?
That's part of the shock value. But anyway... The Millionaires Club then comes out to American Made, Hogan's WCW theme song.
Even that's kind of funny.
Yeah, even though he's wearing the black attire. Now, this is during, by the way, Quinn, Bischoff's gray, fluffy hair period.
This is the first gray hair period for Bischoff.
Yeah, it's very fluffy.
Yeah, he thought he looked really cool.
He looked like an idiot.
Yeah.
All the old assholes come out and Horace Hogan.
Yeah.
Russo says that you people cheer the club because you're scum, and they're scum too.
These people cheer you because they're scum. Just like every one of you.
Okay, whatever, Russo.
Yep.
Now, you notice this Flair, like, he looks like Bischoff.
They have the same hair, but yes. Flair's is, like, obviously bleach blonde, but it's, like, because his is so bleach blonde, he looks like he has white hair, and Bischoff has
white.
Gray hair. So.
It's very funny. Yeah. So this is, Quinn and I didn't get this at first, but we'll get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Russo says there's New York rules tonight, which means there's no rules.
Yep, and you had said this.
Isn't New York the safest city
by this time? 2000,
it's
very safe. This is the safe era with cops on every block and all this. There's no crime in New York. I mean, there's crime, but there's not as... It's very little.
They should have said, like, Camden rules, you know?
Yeah.
So, Flair calls him a dipshit.
Yeah!
To take a look at who you're talking to...
I did. Okay, and I was saying this to you. I know, like, this is a horrible time.
Yes.
But I always thought Flair adapted to this better than pretty much anyone as far as the old timers.
He did.
Like, because Flair was already back in the day saying whatever the hell came to mind, and he would always kind of adapt. But Flair's freaking awesome. Like, there's other things that happen in this that
Flair's
you're like,
amazing.
You're just like, this guy's great. Like, he's still entertaining.
You
like,
know me, Quinn. I'm not the biggest Ric Flair fan, but he's the best part of this show.
Yeah,
he's
really
awesome.
Is. Yeah.
He really is. And then he also says this is a collection of the greatest wrestlers that ever lived and Horace Hogan.
Well, he's kind of right. I mean, like, there is, like, a lot of, like, if you look at the
Hogan,
raw talent up
Sting,
there.
Sting.
DDP.
DDP.
Nash.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Big stupid brawl to start the show, and the announcers sell this, and I know, Quinn, they should, it's their job, but they sell this brawl like it's the most amazing thing.
Like it's startling or something like that. Like, have we never... Here's the thing that's weird about the Schiavone and stuff saying this is that didn't the NWO just used to brawl with a bunch of people?
Yeah.
This is just like a couple years later. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. We go to commercial again, and hey, it's a match. No, it's Slapnuts Jeff Jarrett coming out with Kimberly. What?
I don't get this, Joe. Like,
I don't either.
Okay, so they did this thing where Kimberly turned heel in, like, I want to say 99 or late 99,
maybe like
2000.
Late 99. Yeah.
And okay, so I don't understand it because Kimberly's character in canon that she was sweet and kind of a dope, like.
A little
remember,
bit.
Remember when she was Diamond Doll, she was kind of and then she dated Evad and all that, and she was kind of dopey.
And
but
then
like
she
now
was just a Nitro girl, you know.
Yeah, but like it was never that she was some
bitch.
Maniacal, like woman, like crazy woman, like and that she hated her husband and all this. It's like really a bizarre turn.
It's bad because Jarrett, first of all, cuts a horrible promo because Jarrett's horrible, and then Kimberly gives this horrible heel promo. Where she calls the fans marks.
Oh, yeah, and Jeff Jarrett's talking about heat.
Ooh, so edgy, you know, insider terms.
Yeah.
Heat, marks. Remember when Kimberly was Heidi on Home Improvement?
Okay, yeah, I do remember that because I always was... Why do they look exactly the same? Like, that is the weirdest thing ever.
Does everybody know what time it is?
Right? Yes. Kimberly and Heidi?
They look the same.
Especially if you look at mid-90s Kimberly. Yes. Like, I'm talking the, you know, the Diamond Doll version.
And mid-90s Heidi.
Yeah, they're the same person.
The same.
Yeah.
So then, all this time, Jarrett's going on and on about Chris Kanyon. So Kanyon finally comes out. Jarrett beats him up. This is where we got confused. It turns into a match without a ref.
Okay, this is where I want to address this. Every match on this card isn't really a match. This is what New York Rules is.
Yes.
It means that you have to basically beat your opponent down, but pin him, but you have to count the count.
Or somebody else, maybe.
And then they mark it as like a win for your team
it's
or whatever.
So stupid.
So what I realize is we somehow, by accident...
Yes.
Picked a show with no wrestling matches on it.
There's not a single ref to be found.
Nope. Not at all.
Nothing. So while this is going on, DDP runs in, Diamond cuts Jarrett, Kanyon counts his own pin. What the fuck ever. Whatever.
Yeah.
Backstage, Russo yells at the wall, and I'm talking about the wrestler, not like the side of a house.
The wall, the wrestler. Which I was like, wow, the wall? I haven't seen him in years. I totally forgot he even existed.
Yeah, me too, actually. Like,
Totally
with you, Quinn. No shame in that. Now, this is where we realized this whole night was New York Rules. And Quinn, you tell me that means they all wear jeans?
Yeah, so like everything's like a street fight now. Yeah. Like Lex Luger comes out like at some point and he's just wearing jeans.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone's, except like Sting, I want to say.
Sting's in his normal attire.
Yeah.
So that's actually the next match is The Wall versus Lex Luger.
Ah, right. Okay.
That's where Russo runs out to do commentary and so does Flair.
Oh my God. Flair is amazing because like, at first, you had said during this match, like, why doesn't Russo just interfere? And I'm like, well, Flair's fucking crazy, and he's right next to him, and he's like, I'm going to, you know, like, he's going to get him or something.
That's
like,
true.
You know?
Now, Russo does have a funny line here. He's like, sit down, Schiavone, don't have a heart attack.
Sit down, Schiavone, don't have a heart attack.
There's a very funny moment also where Russo throws Flair over the announce table. Like, Flair shittily falls over it.
Well, Flair kind of takes a brutal bump, like, to the chin. Like, he falls right on his chin, like, over the table.
Yep. And then Russo takes a baseball bat and hits Luger in the balls with it. And then Russo gets in the ring and he calls out Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And then they rumble and Flair gets the figure four on Russo until, like, who cares runs in. Who was that? I don't even know who that was.
I want to Mike or something.
Mike Awesome.
I don't know.
Russo's all over this show.
No, he is. This is the Vince Russo show, basically.
Meanwhile, Miss Elizabeth, or Elizabeth, whatever they called her, is still abducted.
So there's some story going on here that Miss Elizabeth has been abducted by the New Blood.
Yeah.
So why does no one arrest them?
I don't get
it. This is like slavery or like kidnapping.
They're like literally dragging her around against her will the whole time.
Right. And she's like supposed to be dating Lex Luger. Is it like when she comes to work that she has to go into their custody and then like they don't let her go?
Yeah,
until Lex Luger can fight them off or whatever he has to do. Like, did we miss something where there was a match where Luger lost, like, Miss Elizabeth?
I don't know,
like, and it was
Quinn.
Some kind of agreement for, like, a month? Like, I'm so confused.
Also, Chronic is here.
Yeah.
Ugh. So
crickets, really.
Yeah, really. Kidman storms out while Flair is still in the ring, so they wrestle while Flair is, like, still in his casual attire.
He does not remove this white shirt and, like, khakis the whole night.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Shivani informs us that it's 2-0 Millionaires Club.
What?
So
now this is what I meant. There's a score.
They're keeping score. So Flair somehow works in a Flair flop in a no rules brawl.
Well, he's Flair and he's awesome.
Like, yeah, he wrestles the same match no matter what is what you mean.
Well, I like him. It's at least it's cohesive compared to this garbage.
Fair enough. So then Conan and Rey Mysterio without his mask.
No mask.
Yeah.
Oof.
Hi, yo, Holmes.
Yo, Holmes. I'm a heel. What? Like, seriously.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
So they run out to beat up Flair until FUBU gear Kevin Nash comes out.
There's a lot of FUBU in this episode, actually. FUBU hats, FUBU jerseys, just terrible.
When you were commenting on Conan, you're like, hey, he looks like a balloon.
Yeah, Conan is like, I was really like taken aback how much steroids he was using. Like, because I don't remember Conan looking this like buff and like ridiculous.
Or puff, maybe.
Yeah.
I'd say
he looks like somebody had like those like comical like tire thing and like poked it into his like leg or something and then pressed it. You know, like in the Simpsons arcade game and you have to like hit the button and Bart tries to inflate his face up or whatever. That.
So then Dark Attire Hogan runs out and helps Nash beat up Mike Awesome. Where did he come from, by the way?
I don't know if we remarked on this, but Hogan has a thing on the back and so does Horse. It's like FUNB or something.
I forget what that stands for.
Does it actually fuck you
something? Yeah, but I don't remember what.
I don't know what that
New Blood.
Oh, fuck you, New Blood. Wow.
Fuck you, New Blood.
That's great.
Very edgy.
Yeah.
Nash gets on the mic and announces that Mike Awesome won the match due to outside interference.
But then they never say that because later in the show they're acting like they got shut out.
Yep.
Like the announcers are even saying that.
Then he crotch chops over Mike Awesome. Really? Like,
well,
really?
He just wants to go back to WWF at this point.
I don't blame him. Vampiro is in some dark crevice of the arena.
I like that Vampiro, like, throughout all of this, he's basically still, like, the Dark Lord character or whatever he is. So it's like,
Pope.
I live in the basement. And, like, it's like, I'm part of this team, but you know what? I don't really hang out with them.
He might be in our basement right now. We have to go check.
He's behind the crevices.
So Vampiro fights DDP, and then Sting runs in to have some shitty brawl, but there's the fake bloodbath.
Yeah, I always like this because DDP, like, gets the blood on him. And,
he
like,
does. He, looks,
he
cool.
looks cool as hell after he wins with a diamond cutter here.
So, Quinn, you were right, though, because now it's 4-0, according to the announcers. But yes. they don't even know.
Yeah, well, there's parts in this where they don't know other things, too, which are important.
They have no idea what's going on. Neither do we. Mike Awesome hobbles back out and yells at Sting into the mic. He tells him to fly your fat man ass out here.
to which we laughed, because that was actually funny.
That was funny.
Why don't you just fly your fat man ass on down here?
So he comes out. Sting comes out. They have a match. This is Russo, by the way, Quinn, just to interject. This whole show is Russo with a capital R. Oh, no ref? You know what? Russo would have no ring if he could.
Yeah, I know.
This is ridiculous, this show.
Then, I didn't realize, like, I knew we were going into a Russo era, but I didn't think, like, it would be this bad. Like,
I know.
But I feel like we walked into an exceptionally shitty show.
We
like,
did.
Like, but, and that's not even, like, our fault.
No, we didn't mean to do this, folks, I promise. So then doesn't, like, Van Halen beat up Mike Awesome?
Yeah, Van Hammer.
What's
funny is that he's in aligned with the Millionaires Club because he's been around since, like, 1991, which he always looked young, which
I
thought
I
was weird.
It's weird.
It's like, this guy's been around for a million years. Like,
yeah, Million Years Club.
Yeah.
Scorpion Deathlock from Sting gets the win or whatever.
Here's the thing.
Who cares?
He gets the win. He gets a Scorpion Deathlock submission win in a match that has no ref to call the submission.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Which is really awesome. So we go backstage, and this is a common theme. Russo's just still yelling at his own guys.
So yeah, it seems like the club or the new heads, what are their name? New Blood.
New Blood.
They're like, basically the theme is they're falling apart. Like, after every loss, it's more arguing and stuff like that. So
he tells Scott Steiner that he's their last hope. So
it's not even the end of the show.
I know.
I thought this was the end of the show because he said that.
I know. So Steiner wanders out with, like, Medeja.
And Shakira.
Who the hell is Shakira?
I don't remember her. It's not the singer, Shakira.
Her hips do lie. He gives a promo where he says ass a lot and he breaks kayfabe or something. Who cares anymore?
He craps on Hogan. It's like, I'm the best wrestler in this company now or something.
But like, honestly, Quinn, no one cared then. No one cares now.
Big Papa Dump is your hookup. Holla if you hear me.
But then he says, essentially, he's going to go to Hogan's house and fuck his wife.
He does.
I'm going to go to your house and I'm going to prove it to your woman until she calls me the big bad booty daddy.
I was, like, genuinely stunned by this. Like, I was like, really?
So that actually brings out Hogan for this match.
Yeah.
They fight into the crowd where big, fat Hugh Morris helps Hogan.
Right.
And, Quinn, you had a great line here.
I said, I don't think Hugh Morris has ever been a millionaire in his life. Why is he in the Millionaires Club?
I don't know.
Like, seriously.
They double-team Dump for a while, and Quinn, you asked me, why is no one helping Dump?
Yeah, this was befuddling, because 2 seconds ago, Bischoff goes, you're our last hope, and Russo's cheering him on, too.
Yeah.
And then he's getting double-teamed,
and no one
helps
him.
The whole night, there's been interference on both sides.
Right, right.
And no one helps this guy. Like,
it's amazing.
And he rightfully, when they go to the back,
he's mad.
He's like, screw this, I'm not in this anymore. Like, you guys suck. Like, I don't blame him. Like,
so he actually just leaves. That's the best part.
Yeah.
He leaves because he was getting double teamed.
He walks away. Yeah, and he's just like, he doesn't take the loss. He just gets out of there.
So allegedly, Hogan wins by count out, but there's no ref. So, I mean, also, as Steiner's walking backstage, you say to me, Quinn, how is Doug Dillinger still there?
How was that guy, like, he never left, did he?
No.
And I always thought it was funny that the WWE never picked him up.
Nope.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, no, we have our own security.
It's like, no, you're
guy.
Just WCW. Yeah,
we don't want you.
Yeah. It'd be like if WWE picked up Ralphus, like, after the demise.
That would have been okay. Anyway, backstage, Bischoff's on the phone, and he's got a recliner that he's sitting in. And then, like you said, when Dump wanders in and just yells at them and leaves.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm done with this. Like, he says that.
He's like, he's like, why didn't no one help me?
This is like the most logical thing that happens on the show.
From Scott Steiner, of all people.
He's just like, this is stupid. I'm out. Like,
so we cut to the outside where there's another limo. Like, who cares?
How many limos?
Shane Douglas waddles out now with Bagwell to face Chronic. End the show, please.
Crush.
Crushing
Adam Bomb.
So they have a horrible match. Chronic wins and they holds up the belts. And Quinn, this is where you ask me.
Okay, I asked this. I go, was this for the titles? And then literally 2 seconds later, Shivani goes, was this for the titles? Like with the same tone and everything? Yeah. Like,
does this mean they're the champions?
Because the announcers, folks, they didn't know what was going on.
They're holding the belts up at the end like they won.
Right. This show was booked so on the fly and so, like, haphazardly.
Shivani literally goes, we'll have to find out at Slamboree if they are the champions.
He's like, we don't know what happened here.
Yeah.
So backstage again with this fucking room that the New Blood is in the whole time. They're in this
I feel like we've been
room.
In this room more than the ring.
I feel like I've been in this room more than my bedroom today. And Bischoff tries to, like, you know, rile them up, you know, big pep talk.
And
here.
Then I say, at this point, why is anyone even in the New Blood anymore?
They're like, losers.
Yeah, they stink.
They stink.
And their leadership isn't helpful at all. Like, the primary example with Big Papa Dump, like, they don't order anyone to go help him.
Nope. And
like,
Russo just yells at them all the time.
Yeah, this group stinks.
They stink. You're right.
It's no wonder this just ended.
It did just end.
Yeah.
Backstage, a bus shows up behind the limo.
And I say, what now? What are the Crockett's coming out with Magnum and shit like that? Like, the older club?
So then the New Blood comes back out to ringside, blah, blah, blah. Quinn, you notice Mike Awesome has a ball peen hammer with him.
Yeah, everyone has, like, sticks and, like, metal rods and curtain rods, and Mike Awesome proudly with the ball peen hammer in the background.
Like he's a bad guy in Double Dragon or something.
It's so good. I'm surprised nobody had, like, a mace. Like,
or chain.
Yeah.
So the Millionaires Club, of course, comes out just like at the beginning of the show. They're just yelling at each other from the ramp
Flair
in the ring.
With tradition talk.
Yeah, that great tradition of Hugh Morris.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's there.
So they basically agree on a battle royal for tonight, right now, where the winner of this battle royal gets a title shot, not at Slamboree, no, at the Great American Bash.
This is a WCW thing, even back then. They'd always book, like, two pay-per-views. Like, no, this match is for, like, three pay-per-views ahead. Like,
yeah.
And you'd always forget that guy won. Like, I remember, like, the Giant once won World War III, and then, like, he didn't, like, get the title shot for, like, 6 months or something. Like, this
it's
is
real.
This is, like,
real.
If Flair's talking about tradition here, this is traditional WCW right here.
Well, this battle royal starts, And Quinn, you and I both noticed this immediately. It's just a bunch of standing around.
There's like nothing happening.
And somehow it's the most entertaining part of the show.
Yes, it really is. Because here's the thing. In all this chaos, like, I guess people are just allowed to come out in the middle of the Battle Royal.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So the first run-in is we hear Harlem Heat's music and it's Stevie Ray. Ahmed Johnson,
Norman Smiley, and some other fat guy that we never could identify.
No, we couldn't. We don't know who it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then Tank Abbott wanders out.
Yeah, with like an anti-Goldberg shirt on.
What?
And then Flair hits Shane Douglas with a pipe.
Like all bombastically. Yeah. Remember that? He's like, eh.
And then again, I say Ric Flair is the best part of this show.
Yeah, because this is awful. And then what the fuck? Medusa
in Asia.
Yes.
Just why? And then they're like wrestling the men and the men are fighting back. And then, like, it's like Lucha Underground in like 2000.
And then Mona wanders out.
Yeah, Mona, but Shivani calls Asia Mona, and then he, like, realizes he, like, messes up.
Yeah, that's true, he did.
Yeah.
So, in the midst of this, I just typed this note. Quinn reads these live as we do the show.
Yeah.
I just wrote, this is a disorganized mess, not in a good way, the crowd is dead, the announcers are confused, everyone is unmotivated, and I've had enough.
Me too, but you know who hasn't had enough? Jim Duggan, because he runs out in his janitor's outfit
yes,
to
does.
Get involved, and then he just, like, he literally hits someone with a 2x4 and leaves. Chases them out of the arena.
Yeah, he just leaves.
I can't believe the Duggan custodian thing was still going on at this point.
It's amazing to me.
Because didn't he find the TV title in the garbage can and all that?
Wasn't that like a year and a half earlier?
Yes, I thought it was in 99!
It was! Then the mysterious limo bus person starts walking in. All we see is feet. You know, like on the... By the way, the Thunder Vision is the name of the Titantron.
Yeah, seriously.
Then Tony calls Hogan Terry Bollea.
And I had noted that I had thought that they were calling him that at, like during this FUNB era or whatever. I think that was true.
But why? Because Russo? Edgy?
Yeah, because Russo, and they're talking about Heat and Marks and all this, so they think they're so good.
Fucking stupid. Anyway, who's the mystery man, Quinn?
Macho Man Randy Savage. I swear he didn't even wrestle anymore by May of 2000.
What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, this was like actually entertaining. Like we both like actually kind of marked out. We like looked at each other and we're like, oh shit,
Randy Savage?
And you know how I always say, when's the Macho Man? Well, he fucking showed up.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And of course he attacks the New Blood. I mean, he's not going to be in that.
He should just attack everyone and just be like, this all sucks on Macho Man. Like,
that's true. And you notice this, Quinn. He almost eliminates himself.
This is the best part because you know how we always say that Savage, there's this running theme in his entire career that he doesn't know how to like operate in battle royals and
Royal Rumbles. Yeah.
He literally tries to do the same thing. He tries to like jump out and attack the guy.
But then he stops himself.
But he eventually just leaves anyway.
He just leaves through the middle ropes. And eliminates himself, like he doesn't come back.
I think
back.
He chases out like Shane Douglas
yeah,
or
someone
something.
Like that.
Yeah.
So then the final four here is Kidman, Hogan, Shane Douglas, and Ric Flair. Interesting
final four. Okay, I guess
he
didn't chase out Douglas.
With someone, I forget who
somebody,
it was.
Yeah.
So the big surprise, you said, Quinn, is Savage, but he can't win because Hogan's there.
Well, of course. Yeah, well, you know, if Macho Man winds up Hogan, God forbid. Like,
but then we have another run-in, folks, I swear.
But this isn't even, he's not even a participant.
Bret Hart
in like dad jeans and like
after Goldberg kicked his head off.
Yeah,
this is months and months later,
and now he comes out and he's with the New Blood.
It's amazing.
He's so old at this, like he is, and he eliminates Hogan. What? He's never gonna wrestle again either.
Nope, he never did.
Yeah, this is insane.
So Flair wins.
Flair eliminates Kidman.
And then you said, Quinn, props to Flair for wrestling the entire night in the white shirt.
Yep. Listen, we said Flair was the MVP of this show.
He is.
And he deserved.
He actually is.
He fucking deserved that win at the
yes.
end. As bad as this all was,
yep.
Ric Flair earned that Battle Royal win.
So Russo tries to interfere, but he messes up. Flair baseball bat swings Douglas over the top rope. That's
right.
The win, is Douglas.
So
he swings like yeah. swinging a baseball
he
bat.
He literally, like, if he's going to, like, hit a ball, but
yeah.
Douglas is the ball, and he, like, winds up, swings, and Douglas, like, flies out of the ring, like, comically.
It's funny. So after all of this, I just need to say the oldest guy on the roster wins. It's amazing.
Well, no offense, most of the people were
I get it.
Junk.
I do get it, but so much for moving forward. You know what I mean?
This was already a lost cause by this point.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, it's almost like I just wanted to see Flair just like flush the toilet with this. Like, it's like he hit the toilet button, you know, the thing with the baseball bat, like, because he didn't want to even get near the crap. And it's just like, flush junk.
Shane Douglas,
yeah, get out of here.
Savage comes in, raises Flair's hand. Then Bischoff tries to say that Kidman won because him and Hogan fell through a table.
Yeah, so by the way, in all this, there's like this horrible, weird spot on the outside where Hogan lifts up Kidman for a vertical suplex, and Kidman falls on Hogan, and they go through the table.
It's really strange, just the way it looked. And then, in the midst of that, the camera cuts to Jeff Jarrett hanging off of scaffolding with DDP.
This was the best part, because it was so random. Like, you think like everything's over, and then it's just Jeff Jarrett and DDP like climbing up the freaking Titan Vision or Thunder Vision. Yeah, like fighting. Why are they up there?
Like, what the fucking shit was going on? And then in the meantime, Savage goes over to Hogan, picks him up off the floor, and the show ends not with the Mega Powers handshake.
No.
The Mega Powers fist bump.
Go to black.
Oh my God, what did we watch, Quinn?
I don't know.
That was something. I
don't even know what to say. Scaffolding thing was bizarre at the very end there, by the way.
Because in the midst of Bret Hart running out, Randy Savage, like, people swinging bats, Hogan going through tables, and
Ric Flair in, like, a sweaty, like, shirt.
And khakis.
Yeah.
And then it just cuts to out of nowhere, like, no context or anything, Jarrett and DDP are hanging off of scaffolding.
And Hogan with, like, what looked like a botch spot, but probably wasn't.
I have no idea what that was. Folks, here's my bottom line on this one. This is Vince Russo running WCW.
This is like Apex Russo right here.
It is, and it sucked.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. You think about what WWF was doing at the time, Quinn, in May of 2000. You're talking about The Rock, Triple H, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero. Intriguing matches, intriguing angles. One of the best years they've ever had.
And this is on the other channel.
Ric Flair's winning the Battle Royal in a show that had no matches. And Tank Abbott's there.
Yeah.
David Arquette's the world champion.
It's pretty awful.
And Vince Russo is just littered throughout this show in presence and in, like, touch.
Actually in the show.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my
not even,
God.
Like, just, like backstage. Like,
awful.
Yeah. Terrible.
It's not hard to see why people stopped watching Thunder. In fact, Quinn, did you know a few months after this, they actually moved the Thunder tapings to right after Nitro?
They would just to save money, because it's not even worth it.
Because no one was going to the separate tapings. They would actually do Nitro Live and then tape Thunder afterwards.
Awful.
This show went downhill
very
quick, and this is prime example of it.
What's funny is, I wouldn't say it was the worst thing we watched so far, because it was actually, like, oddly entertaining, like, because it was just such a mess.
The last half hour was very entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's up there with some of the worst. It's definitely the most disorganized thing we've watched.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
It was hard.
Yeah.
That was hard to watch.
It was.
It wasn't
up
fun.
Up until the Battle Royal was bad.
Yeah. Because the Battle Royal was at least a normal wrestling trope.
Yes.
Everything else was a bunch of guys just walking around punching each other.
Counting their own pins.
It was hard to watch. And that's Russo.
Yeah.
There's no way that anyone else but Russo wanted that
just
to happen.
Horrible.
It didn't work. Like, I'm sure Vince Russo will somehow defend it to this day. Like, bro,
we had to keep him on the channel or something. Yeah.
You have to understand that I was... It sucked. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, bad.
It blew.
Yep.
There's no way around it.
Awful.
It can't not even compete with what WWF was doing at the time.
No, not at all.
But folks, thank you so much for being with us. We have had a doozy of a time here. And guess what? We will be back next week to have another doozy of a time as we talk about the world of retro wrestling.
Yep, we'll be back.
We will be back. So in the meantime, tweet at us at OVP Podcast. You can email us at ovppodcast@gmail.com. Go to our website, ovppodcast.com. And Quinn, where can they check us out?
iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Blueberry,
and
a plethora of places.
And the YouTubes.
And YouTube. Of course.
All right, folks, so have a great rest of your day, a great rest of your week, whatever you might do with it. We will be back to talk to you about the world of retro wrestling next week. Have a great day.
See ya.
See ya.
You're next.
It's WCW NWO Thunder, only on the PlayStation game console. Choose your competition, pick your weapon, and play Thunder till your thumbs bleed.
Feel my power with WCW NWO Thunder.
So you want to step in the ring with the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be? Step in the ring with the greatest technical wrestler in the history of the WCW.
The WCW!
This is the Stinger, and I'm in the mood for handing out more than just one Stinger death drop.
Wow!
I'm Lex Luger, they call me the Total Package. You know why? Because I'm the finest physical specimen on the planet Earth today. You got the guts to take me on?
I don't know!
Oh yeah, I'm the Macho Man Randy Savage. Don't make a big mistake. Get with the madness. That's what you want to do. Oh yeah.
Pick the powerhouse of WCW because I'm big, bad, and dangerous to know.
Who's this now, Randy?
Hey man, here's Alex Wright, the German.
Who cares?
If you want to know what the Germans are about, pick me and you're going to have a hell of a victory. I promise.
Orale! Arriba la raza!
Give me a break.
I'm Bowdy Bowdy and Rowdy Rowdy. Black and red wolf pack represented by the KOWNAN.
Will you stop?